You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
It is decision time for the Syrian opposition. They've been meeting this week in Qatar to tap new leadership after Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton pronounced the Syrian National Council a failure last month. Essentially, the U.S. Secretary of State claimed that the chaotic and ragtag Syrian opposition is less credible than this man to lead Syria.
I'm not puppet. I wasn't made by the West to go to the West or to any other country. Mm-hmm. I'm Syrian. I'm made in Syria, and I have to live in Syria and die in Syria.
That's Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in an interview yesterday with Russia Today. 20 months into what is now a civil war, even though Assad denies it, 40,000 people are dead. Overnight, more than 11,000 Syrians crossed into Turkey, Jordan, and Lebanon, fleeing the violence. The Syrian opposition is at a crossroads, leaderless and losing support around the world, even as Bashar al-Assad's hold on the country weakens. Joining us now is Amar al-Azza, member of the Syrian opposition and professor at Shawnee State University. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
What is at stake, really, in these meetings that are taking place this week?
Well, these are critical meetings because, as you quite rightly said, the opposition here is at a crossroads. At least the political opposition is at a crossroads here. There are two key issues that were happening at Doha. One, and that was the restructuring of the SNC, this long-awaited restructuring in a response to the continuous criticism of the SNC by both the opposition itself internally and the external diaspora opposition, as well as the international community. Last in a long line of such criticism would be Secretary Clinton's statement that the SNC was a failure. The other important thing that is happening is the fact that Riyad Saif, a very prominent leader of the Syrian opposition, has put together an initiative that would ultimately lead to the formation of a new body that would include the SNC as well as other major opposition blocs to form this new entity, which would then allow for the formation of a government in exile as well. And they were also looking at forming a judiciary body committee that would look at legal issues and a joint military council as well, and all these would coordinate. So you have two, in effect, important events. The first thing to go ahead was the SNC meeting, which was quite fractious, we understand, and there were new elections with a whole new leadership brought in with mixed responses, actually. One of the key criticisms of the new leadership is that it is dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is problematic. Muslim Brotherhood and Islamists, I should say. Mm. Okay. And the other one is that there were no women. There was not a single woman voted on to the council. With the loss of prominent names such as George Sabra and Burhan Ghalioun, and even Riyad Saif himself were not as part of the new leadership.
Those are some names that we should pay attention to as this institution begins to form. What do you think the quid pro quo is here? Do you think developing some sort of credible institutional initiative here will trigger some form of military aid, some very specific steps on the part of the West and the United States?
Well, yes, you have the issue here quite right. Look, it remains to be seen whether whatever comes out of Doha, whether they are able to unite, whether they're able to come behind the Riyad Saif, will actually produce a more effective, functional Syrian opposition. But there's also the optics side of it. How does that appear? Remember, the international community has also been urging for quite some time now, in fact, almost from the beginning, for the opposition to unite as a means, as a pathway to be able to increase its support for it. We've been told repeatedly that once the elections are over in the U.S., this would then make it more possible, should the U.S. administration decide to become more active in its intervention in the Syrian situation, then it would come after the elections. Now the elections are over. So you think of it as checking boxes. We're checking boxes here. Elections over. Unifying the opposition, check box. Okay, it's done. It may not be the best, it may not be the most functional, but we seem to have done that, at least in appearance-wise. So check. So all of these are, I think, building up to this idea that, okay, there is now this idea that we seem to have checked the boxes that need to be checked. Now the U.S. can, if it so chooses, if it so decides to become more active there, then it can do so. And I think what we will see most likely is not major large-scale intervention, but small-scale selective intervention. Some of it probably covert, in fact, probably a lot of it covert. Mm. to just tip the balance, to change the balance of power on the ground sufficiently for the opposition, for the military fighters, for the rebels to begin to take the major cities. So far, not a single major city has fallen into the hands of the rebels. We've seen small towns, we've seen the countryside is almost all in the opposition's hands, but none of the major cities, none of the capitals of the key provinces in Syria. And we need to see those starting to fall into the hands of the opposition before we can really see a major shift.
Right. Amar al-Azam, let me just ask you one final question before we go. Any reaction to the quite unnerving voice there of Syrian President Assad speaking in English on Russia Today?
Oh, it's quite prophetic. I mean, the man said quite clearly that he intends to live and die in Syria, and I think he means it. It's clear to me that he means it. And there's no doubt about it, I think, in my mind, that he plans to fight to the bitter end. But that does not necessarily mean that he will be able to do so, because although, you know, it may be up to the opposition to ultimately defeat him militarily, but I also suspect that as things get worse on the ground for him, particularly if the U.S. intervenes, then from within his own ranks, there may be a sense that this is a losing battle that they're fighting, and they may choose to remove him themselves. Either way, he's not going to leave, and he's not going to, I don't think he will survive this either.
Amar al-Azam, member of the Syrian opposition and professor at Shawnee State University. Thanks as always.
Thank you very much.